Kildare Focus with Kira Noble.
Good afternoon. It is Monday. I am still wearing my mask. Apologies. Thank you for joining me. It is absolutely Baltic outside. I don't know how you're feeling, but I am absolutely freezing today. So I've got my my cup of hot coffee here beside me. Well, tea. And I hope you do too, wherever you are, nice and warm. Thank you for joining me. As I did say, coming up in the next couple of minutes, we'll be speaking with the Health Insurance Authority. They have launched a new campaign to raise awareness of their services, as over 1 million people are facing renewing their policies at the end of the year. Brian Burke, the coordinator with Birdwatch Ireland's Nationwide Garden Survey. So it's been running for more than 3 decades and it begins today. Anthony Staines will join us, Professor of Health Systems at DCU, on the Omicron variant and antigen testing in schools we know began today. Then Owen Beattie will join us in regards to the CSO's most recent pulse survey, and we'll also be speaking with the editor of Old Moore's Almanac, that's Nicole Buckler, reflecting on 2021 and looking ahead to the 2022 predictions. I find that so interesting. I only heard about that today, this book. And supposedly in 2019, I believe, it was predicted that a pandemic was awaiting us. And obviously they were right, because a pandemic did await us in 2020. So very interesting. It'll be interesting to hear what the predictions are for this year. But as I was saying, the Health Insurance Authority is joining us this morning, and its chief executive is Laura Bryan. Good afternoon, Laura.
Good afternoon.
Now, we know that a lot of people do renew their health insurance policies this time of year. A couple of weeks ago, we were speaking to Dermot Good of Total Health Cover, and he was going through different, issues that people may face this time of year when it does come to renewing their policies. At the HIA, what is this new campaign that you've launched to help people?
So our new campaign is to underline the fact that the Health Insurance Authority is the authority and primary source for trusted information for consumers on all matters health insurance. So not only do we provide information and jargon busters to help people understand what different aspects of health insurance or their policies cover, we also have a comparison tool on our site that's free to use. So people can come onto our site, they can look up maybe an existing policy they have and look for other ones that might maybe provide them with better cover at the same price or the same cover at a better price. And for those that are not so comfortable using online sort of comparison, we also have dedicated consumer advisors here at the HIA. So people can call us up and we can walk them through what options are out there.
Laura, does it matter what time of the year somebody's health insurance is renewed, no matter if they stay with the same provider? Like, do certain times of the year have higher prices naturally, or is that a complete myth?
No. So prices don't vary throughout the year. So when a health insurer puts out a product, that product is usually, that price is fixed for 12 months. So people do tend to renew their policies at different times of the year. Mostly when people sign up for a health insurance contract, it's for 1 year. So if you signed up in March this year, your contract would be up for renewal in March next year. We do know, though, that the most common time period for renewing is between about November and March. About 50% of people renew during that year. And that's why we're coming out now with this new advertising campaign. It's a peak renewal period for people.
And in terms of the insured population, have you any idea how many in Ireland, or the percentage of residents in Ireland that do hold health insurance?
Yes. So there's about 2.4 million people in Ireland that have some form of health insurance.
Does that include a child on a parent's health insurance?
Yes. So about 77% of adults have health insurance and about 22% of children do. So there's quite a big proportion there of adults that do hold some form of health insurance cover.
Obviously, you know, inflation is increasing rapidly in this country at the moment. We've had the restrictions. Some people haven't had a job for a certain amount of months. The nighttime sector has gone back into restrictions of sort. If I'm somebody who's looking at my overall outgoings for the year, and I currently have my child insured in terms of health insurance, that is, would you advise me to continue that on? Or would you advise other people who don't have their children insured to do so in the coming year?
I think the decision to hold health insurance for a child is a very personal one. I wouldn't want to get into that in terms of, because it really does depend on, you know, what your own situation is. I mean, I think what we would say is review what the policy offers. If you do have a child on a policy, review what it offers and make sure that it does cover the treatments that you and your family do need. In general, children's policies are cheaper, but they also provide fewer services than the adult ones do, mainly because there's no private provision of health services for children in a private hospital. So what you are getting mainly across the children's policies are access to things like GPs and other support services.
Now, I just mentioned inflation there. The average price increases in 2021 reached 4%. And you are obviously with the HIA saying that consumers should be checking their policy and if it provides the cover they require going into your next coverage period. In terms of that increase, can we expect that to be increased further within the next year?
So again, this really depends on the decisions made by the health insurers. So we do know that this year up to October, year-on-year prices were up about 4%. The average adult premium is about, according to our calculations, about €1,470 today. But that is an average, and indeed each insurer will have a broad range of policies that cover both higher priced and lower priced than that. And frequently there are quite similar policies at different price levels. So what we would do is encourage people to really look at what the policy covers and use our comparison tool to see whether or not it's possible to get a different policy, either with your own insurer or with a different insurer, that may provide the same benefits but at a lower cost. There's wide variety out there.
And as Laura is saying, if you do want to use that tool, head on to the HIA's website and you will get some more information on how to use that and obviously the campaign in general. Laura Bryan, the Chief Executive of the Health Insurance Authority, thank you for the time this afternoon. I do appreciate it. And as I was saying, it's hia.ie to get in touch with people. Joining me now on the line is Brian Burke. He's a coordinator with Birdwatch Ireland's Nationwide Garden Survey. Good afternoon, Brian.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you very much. Tell us a little bit more about the Garden Survey.
Yeah, so the Irish Garden Bird Survey, it starts today and it runs until the end of February. And we just ask people to make note of the birds that they see in their garden on a weekly basis. And you start fresh the following week. And it basically gives us some really, really valuable data to kind of monitor how a lot of our favourite species across the country kind of fare during the winter months, which are obviously really, really tough time of the year for those birds. So it's the survey itself, it doesn't require a huge amount of time. If you're the type of person who puts out bird feeders and likes to keep an eye on your garden birds through the winter, it's perfect. And, you know, doesn't require a huge amount of time or effort. And yeah, it's a really good way for, I suppose, you to get to grips with what's going on in your garden over the course of the winter months. And then that can feed into the national picture as well.
Now, you're mentioning the winter months, and I have a question, because I remember since I was a child, it was always said that robins only came out in the winter months. It was Santa's bird coming down to check on us. But that's not the case, is it, Brian?
No. So on average, and we know this from the Garden Bird Survey data over the years, 99.7% of gardens get robins in the winter. So that is a huge amount, and it's definitely more than you would see them in the summer. So robins are very territorial birds, despite being lovely and cute and everything like that. They're very territorial, very angry birds. In the winter, what happens is the males stay near their nesting territory, so the place that they had their nest during the summer. The females spread out, so they leave the males to guard the territory. Females will go to other places where maybe there is food available, but there wasn't suitable nesting habitat. So essentially, robins are spread across the country much more widely in the winter months.
So okay, so basically,
you're much
the
more
females...
likely to see them then in the winter.
So the females literally just have had enough of the males. So they
just
that's literally
it. You got to take a break every now and again. You know,
okay.
I'm sure we can all understand that. You know,
no, I couldn't possibly. Brian, just in regards to this time of year in terms of the food? A lot of people do fill up their bird feeders, but people may not know exactly what to put in it. When it comes to, obviously there's specific bird seed and nut that you can buy, but when it comes to your own household foods, is there anything that people can be leaving out for birds that is okay for them?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would always say when it comes to feeding garden birds, there's all these different things on the market. Some of them are a bit gimmicky. The two things I put out through the winter are peanuts and sunflower seeds. And if you put out those two, you'll get a huge range of species and everything will be happy. If you're looking in your own cupboards, maybe it's a snowy period hits and you haven't bought in any bird food, especially. Things like porridge oats, you can scatter them on the lawn. Raisins and sultanas, if you soak them in a bit of water, you can leave them out. Chopped apples and things like that. I like to do that for the blackbirds in particular, love chopped apples, and so do robins and blackcaps and song thrushes and stuff like that. So there's always some foods that you can put out, you know, if you do get caught out like that. If you have a bit of time to prepare, I love making my own fat balls. So people put out these fat balls. They're kind of made of lard and beef dripping, but you can make your own ones and you can mix in all those kind of ingredients, the raisins, sultanas, currants, all the leftovers from Christmas cake, breadcrumbs, all that kind of stuff. Mix it all up with some beef dripping, which you can get in the supermarket near the butter, that kind of part of the supermarket aisle. And you can make your own fat balls, and they're full of calories, full of fat. And that'll help those small little birds get through the very kind of long, cold winter nights.
Now, just in terms of the garden survey itself, would a person here in County Kildare be more likely to see a certain type of bird than somebody would say over the west of the country?
Yeah, so we get some really interesting trends in different parts of the country. So, you know, there's some species that maybe you might expect might be in more urban areas that turn up in rural areas and vice versa. So species like wood pigeon actually turn up much more in Leinster than you would expect. So I would have thought places like there's so many urban areas in Leinster and Kildare and Dublin and Meath and all those kind of places that you would think a wood pigeon is a very countryside bird, actually turns up in much more gardens in Leinster than it does in any of the other provinces. If you're in Kildare, I would say as well, you want to keep an eye out for woodpeckers. So the core of their distribution at the moment is very much focused around Wicklow and Wexford. But every year we're seeing more and more woodpeckers that turn up in gardens, and they're definitely nesting in a few different locations around Kildare. So whenever you see woodpeckers photographed in Ireland on a bird feeder, it's always on a peanut bird feeder. So if you want motivation to put out some peanuts over the winter, leave them out. You might get lucky and see a woodpecker.
And what, you know, when it comes to, say, the crows and the bigger birds, have you got any advice for people, especially who are living in more built up areas, like maybe on the outskirts of towns here in the county, that are living in estates and stuff like that? And if they do get a lot of crows in, you can see them kind of fighting off the smaller birds. Have you got advice on how to keep the bigger birds, who obviously can fend for themselves, away from the stuff you're putting out for the smaller birds?
Yeah, so you kind of have to get creative with that kind of thing. I've seen people, you can get hanging baskets, and if you get two hanging baskets and tie them around your feeder, it kind of stops the crows being able to get in at the feeder, but lets the small birds in. You might want to get creative with something like chicken wire either. I've seen people, you know, those big dog crates you can get, that's kind of a black cage with a solid bottom on it, and they hang their bird feeders in that. And again, that lets all the small birds in and keeps the big birds out. I've heard of people tying their bird feeders onto a length of elastic rather than string or just hanging it on a branch. And what that'll mean is when a crow or something like that lands on it, it's going to bounce up and down, it's going to scare the life out of them, and they're going to fly away. In general, though, I would say you want to, if you're trying to discourage stuff like crows, you maybe want to keep an eye on the seed that is spilling on the ground, because if stuff's spilling on the ground, you're not going to be able to keep the crows away. So maybe, you know, predominantly, if you put out something like peanuts, they're not going to fall out of the feeder, and, you know, the crows aren't going to be able to get at them. So there's kind of a few things like that. It ends up being a bit of a battle of wits sometimes with the crows, in that you'll figure something out and that'll keep them away for a week or two. And they'll keep having a look at it and they'll figure it out themselves, and then you got to think of something else, you know. But they do have to eat too. But yeah, you know, when you're investing all this money in bird feeders and bird food, I can understand where people maybe want to prioritise some of the smaller birds.
Well, Brian, it's really interesting talking to you this afternoon. I'm no ornithologist or anything, but I love looking at the birds coming out to the feeders and stuff, especially the tiny birds. I probably only know maybe three to name, so I'm definitely going to try and take part in this garden survey. And if anybody else wants to, do check out Birdwatch Ireland's website. Brian Burke, you are coordinator with Birdwatch Ireland, the National Garden Survey, and thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Kildare Focus with Kira Noble.
Looking here on thejournal.ie, there is a poll. Did you buy anything on Black Friday? Obviously, huge reductions in sales in general. And 75% of people, that was 4,457 people, said no, compared to 24.9% or 1,477 people saying yes. I did buy things online on Black Friday, but I would buy things online on a normal Wednesday as well. So I don't know if I'm the best person to ask about this. Oh, and Beattie, did you buy anything on Black Friday?
It's not just online though, is it? I don't think it has to
true.
Be.
True, sorry, it's gotten everywhere now, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose, look, a lot of the purchases recently over the last year and a half have been online, and that's just because of COVID. I was never big into buying things online anyway. I more kind of would prefer
the item.
Yeah, I like much prefer going in, having a walk around the shop, and, you know, I would kind of do maybe a big shop every 3 to 6 months rather than picking up bits and pieces as we go along.
Hold on, what is included in your big shop?
Well, like, just, you know, if you wanted to go in around a shopping centre and clear out
just
the wardrobe.
Is that like, I need new socks, need new underwear?
No,
what is,
no.
So what does a big shop mean?
Well, like where you clean out the wardrobe. So, you know, you'd buy your Christmas clothes, for example, and you'd wear them then over the Christmas. Then you get rid of them and then you do the shop then in the spring.
Oh, and that is fast fashion. You're not helping the environment.
Yeah, I know. But that's just the way I do it. Whereas people would say, you know, I need another jumper, and they'd go online and they'd buy just that single jumper. Whereas I wouldn't. I'd wait and let it accumulate and buy up a couple of different things. But no, I didn't buy anything online for Black Friday. I believe that a lot of people did. They made a lot of savings, which is important. And
It is important. And it's important to shop local. So hopefully, today is also called Cyber Monday. I don't know if people know this. And that's obviously, sorry, I got a bit of confused there, Owen. That's obviously just solely based
online,
in terms of the online side of things. But I do know that a lot of the local shops still have their sales on. I know Newbridge was absolutely on fire over the
Jammers,
weekend.
Yeah.
There were so many people everywhere, which was really nice to see. I'm sure Salins, a lot of people were out shopping out in Salins.
Not necessarily in Salins, but I tell you, everyone getting off the train after going up to Dublin, into Newbridge, you know,
but
there was just people.
Shop local.
Yeah, but the people walking up the village of Salins just with, you know, bags and bags under their arm from Black Friday.
Have
but
you
yeah,
done
that was
your
it.
Christmas shopping?
No, I haven't even started it. I'm a 23rd of December kind of man.
Why?
I don't know.
People like that stress me out so much. I had it all organised. I'm going to be fully organised in the next probably 3 to 4 days. Mm. But I'm like basically finished now. Why do you want to put yourself through that stress?
I wouldn't mind, but I love Christmas. Absolutely love Christmas. But I don't know, I find the shopping closer to the time when the stress, when the pressure is on. That's when
I make the right decisions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Come here, I'm a Celebrity. Have you been watching that over the last couple of days?
I
usually watch it more than I have been this year. I haven't really gotten into it. But anyone who has been following it will know over the last couple of days, particularly over the weekend, it didn't have any live shows because of Storm Arwen over in the UK. And it kind of messed up with the set in Wales. But we have a statement just coming from I'm a Celebrity now saying that it will return tomorrow night, Tuesday the 30th of November. As we know here in Ireland, it's on Virgin Media 1, also Virgin Media Player as well. It's on ITV in the UK. Anton Deck will be back presenting live from the castle. There'll be a live public vote for a new trial during tomorrow's episode, with Anton Deck revealing the result to the campmates live at the end of the programme. Production worked round the clock, we're told, to get the site back up and running after Storm Arwen, and that caused substantial damage over the weekend, and they're yet to reveal their first vote-off date, and that will be announced as normal in the daily update. So, yeah, I haven't really got into it this year. I know David Ginola, the very famous footballer for Spurs and Newcastle. He's probably the top celebrity in there. Also,
Madeley when he was there.
Madeley, yeah. Obviously, he fell ill one of the nights and had to go to the hospital, and then
burst
that
the
broke
COVID
the
bubble, yeah.
COVID bubble. In terms of soaps, which I'm not a huge fan of, Simon Gregson, he's in there.
Steve
also
from Coronation Street.
Yeah, Ian Beale. Yeah, he's in there as well. And there's a couple of others in terms of soap stars, Paralympians, Olympic champions and stuff. So it is something that I like watching, just haven't really gotten into it, but hopefully I will over the next
Now,
couple
I'm going
days.
To be cynical. Do you think possibly this is a stunt to get more people to watch? Because just like you said, a lot of people this year I hear are like, nah, I'm switching it off, I don't care.
Well, I think even, was it 700 and something thousand people in Ireland watched the first night, which was quite a substantial amount of people who watched it. I don't know if it's a publicity stunt. I mean, if you look at the snow and the rainstorms that we've had in over in the UK at the weekend was just shocking. Like Burnley and Spurs, that football match, that was called off at the weekend as well. So I don't know if it's a publicity stunt, but I think more people will tune in to see whether or not the set has changed.
Speaking of snow, there's loads of snow over in the UK right now. We're not getting snow for Christmas. How do you feel about that?
Did I see there was something about snow next week, though?
Yeah,
on the weather
Christmas
app?
Isn't next week, hon. Well, we're talking about Christmas. How do you feel about that?
How do I feel about no snow for Christmas?
No white Christmas.
We haven't had any for a while, have we?
Exactly, so that's why we want it now. Anyway, thank you so much. All things Omicron is Professor Anthony Staines, Professor of Health Systems at DCU. Hi, Anthony, how are you?
I'm grand, dear, thanks.
Anthony, how should our listeners be feeling this afternoon? We spoke to Tomás Ryan the other day. He was giving people advice to kind of get rid of the old masks, the old disposable ones, and get your hands on the FFP2 or 3 and the KN or just N95 masks to protect
FFP2,
themselves.
FFP2, not FFP3.
Oh, not FFP3. Okay.
So FFP2, N95 and KN95 are all slightly different versions of the same thing. They're just more effective masks than the ones that most, you know, the cloth masks or the blue paper surgical mask that most of us are wearing.
Yes, yeah, they're much easier available in the shops, in fairness to people.
Yeah,
they're obviously trying to do the right thing, but that was the advice. And we're just letting listeners know what, I guess, experts like yourselves are saying in terms of the virus. But I guess shed some light on the weekend and how things went and obviously the cases of the variant being detected in so many countries across the globe now.
Well, the way it's running now in Ireland, we have a fairly high case number, which has been steady for quite some time. And it's too high for us to really effectively manage it case by case. The Omicron variant is very likely here. It shows up in a particular way on the routine PCR tests that we are using. And there are a number of samples gone off for further investigation to confirm, are they the Omicron variant or not? But it looks very likely that they are. So it's very likely this variant is here and has been here for a little while. And what that means for people is not absolutely certain. It's likely but not certain that this spreads better than the Delta variant, which is what we have right now. So it could replace it. And we could end up with, we have 4,000 odd cases of Delta a day. We have hardly any of anything else.
Okay, and just to ask you about that, and I just want to, you know, shed a bit more light for listeners. So there's 10 possible cases of the Omicron variant in this country. They've been sent for full genome testing. So the samples were taken, as I was saying a moment ago, from positive tests, and it showed a phenomenon called the S gene dropout, and it's linked to COVID mutations and variants. As we know, viruses mutate, it's going to happen. So the lab analysis is underway. Now, if Omicron becomes the main virus that spread throughout our communities, right? Does that necessarily mean that people get sicker with that variant, or does it just mean that it's more transmissible? Because I think that might be where people are picking up things wrong, if that makes sense. Because I'm to believe that it doesn't necessarily mean that this variant is more dangerous than Delta or any other one that has been with us in the past, including the one that began or was first detected in Kent in England.
Yeah, the Alpha variant. It at the moment, there's very little information. So what the South African doctors who picked this up first have said is that the cases they've seen have mostly been in young people, and they haven't been especially different from the Delta cases in the same young people. So for many people this involves, it's not the most pleasant illness, but if you think of a bad flu, you're in the right ballpark. And people are sick for maybe 2 weeks, and most people recover. So that's what it looks like. What they're worried about and what they don't know yet is whether in older people, in people who are otherwise at risk, this will produce higher rates of hospitalization or higher rates of serious illness. Now, the advantage we have here is that many of the older people in the community have received a booster vaccine. And many of the high-risk people.
Yeah.
So a lot of transplant patients, the people with cancer and a couple of other groups have had a booster vaccine. And we don't absolutely know, but it's a very good bet that provides very useful protection against this new variant, against the Omicron variant.
And in regards to that, we've heard from health officials in this country saying we need to roll it out quicker, but People within the World Health Organization, including Dr. Mike Ryan, obviously from this country, have noted that the reason for variants being detected at all is due to vaccine inequity. And there are countries like ourselves, and I'm not saying that the people who are receiving the vaccine aren't worthy, so I hope people listening don't take me up in that sense. But there are countries like ourselves and the United States, where we may not be as rich as the United States, but we are a very rich country, who have 29-year-olds receiving, I'm not talking about additional doses now if they were immune compromised or anything, but booster doses that probably are more in a better place, can one say, somebody who's living in the Saharan desert who is 56. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, right now, people are, doctors and nurses across the world are dying of COVID unvaccinated, because we haven't allowed the vaccine to be spread in their countries. And that is down to the rich countries of the world. We have tolerated this. We've put up with this. We're also holding a lot of doses of vaccine for no
Anthony, can I just pick
purpose.
You up there, right? You've said we've tolerated this. I think the huge majority of the Irish Republic, we are known as a very generous nation, would not, don't tolerate this. But the truth is, the average person, I know you're not saying they do, but the average person has no control over where these vaccines go.
No, it's down to our governments. And Europe has been one of the major obstacles to changing the situation. And the United States has been the other. And we're paying the price for that. We were warned over a year ago that something like this would happen. And then Delta popped up. And, you know, Delta caused havoc across wealthy countries as well as poor countries. And now this new variant has popped up, and we don't know yet if it's going to spread as rapidly as Delta did. But it certainly, it looks as if it could. Now, we're not going to know whether it does or not for quite some time, but it looks as if it could. And we're every time one of these variants comes up, we're taking a huge risk, because we don't know what will happen. Most variants pop up, they get detected, they disappear again.
Anthony,
you know as well as I do
that Christmas is less than a month away. We had a meaningful Christmas last year. A lot of families did spend huge amount of times apart from their immediate family, close family, friends, wherever, maybe whatever or whoever the person may be in your life. And that will be one of the main questions that the general public are asking at the moment is, will it be another meaningful Christmas? In your honest opinion, and with the situation as you can see it right now, does it mean that we're going to go back into some sort of, I guess, higher restriction level come the Christmas period?
I think we're going to place ourselves in it, first of all. The hotels are already reporting they've lost 90 million in business in cancellations. People are going out less. I think the government might or might not bring in a higher level of restriction. That's as much a political decision as a technical decision. But it's not. I don't think we're going to have a normal Christmas. I mean, Boris Johnson was on the television the other day saying that this Christmas would be great in Britain. I don't think it will be, unfortunately. And I don't think it'll be great here either.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think a lot of people have kind of are facing that fact at the moment that it, but you know what, to be honest, Anthony, it hasn't been normal for the past near 2 years. So I don't think any of us, well, majority of us are not naive enough to believe it is. Now, I've got a texter in who has posed this. It's not a question. They're just kind of stating this, but they're saying Omicron is a mild cold by the doctor who discovered it. That's how they described it. This texter is saying, why is the media hyping it up? Change the letters around. It's moronic. And that's what it is. Just to let people know, it's Omicron. So it's O-M-I-C-R-O-N. So text, you just didn't spell it the right way. So if you actually change the letters around, it isn't moronic. But in regards to, you know, members of the public who are feeling like that about this new variant, what would you say to them, Anthony?
I would say that there was an interview, in fact, with the lady they're quoting on RTE at lunchtime today. And she said that people were getting about as sick as they had been before, that most of the cases she'd seen were in younger people, and that she was seriously worried about how the cases might impact older people. And from her description of the cases, it's nothing like a cold. It's much more like a very, very nasty flu. So I've sympathy with the frustration of the person who texted you. People are very frustrated, but we've made a choice, which is essentially to live with this virus. And unfortunately, this is what living with this virus looks like. I was speaking to a colleague of mine who works in
Anthony, I just want to stop you there, right? Do you really think, in fairness, what you've said before would say when countries like New Zealand and Australia did have zero COVID, do you really think now Ireland has made the choice? Because it seems as if from those other countries, due to the variants, especially Delta, it became more transmissible, the virus. And even those countries have kind of, not to the same extent, obviously they're not recording 4,000 cases a day, but even they are no longer going for a zero COVID policy.
No, zero is very, very difficult to get to, but low is achievable. So we look at places like South Korea, we look at places like Japan, we look at Australia, we look at New Zealand, where they all have cases, although they're falling in Australia now, but they have had nothing like the level of disruption we've had. They've had nothing like the level of national lockdown that we've had. It has caused stress, it has caused pain, it has caused suffering, it has cost a lot of money. But we've had the pain, the stress and the money, and we still have 4,000 cases a day. So I'm not sure that the approach we took here was a very effective approach.
I think a huge amount of the public would agree with you there, Professor Anthony Staines. Listen, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, Professor of Health Systems at DCU. Obviously, a lot of information to digest there, but I want to give you some good news just in this hour of the show, because I know there's a lot of heavy things that are going on in the world at the moment. But the co-founder of Revolut has donated an additional €1 million to the 2021 Toy Show appeal. He'd originally donated 100,000 and now the extra million today. His name is Vlad Yatsenko and he confirmed the donation this morning. He praised the support for the charity appeal. Revolut was down for a time on Friday evening, and at the end of Friday evening's Toy Show, €3.3 million had been raised. I mentioned it there with Anthony, just how generous the Irish public are, and were hugely generous. And by Sunday evening, the figure had increased to €5,045,926. So it's just amazing what people of Ireland are doing at the moment. And it's so cool to see things like that going globally, I guess. People like Vlad Yatsenko tweeting and writing Instagram stories, etc. about it. I don't know if you did watch the Toy Show. I did catch up a bit of it on Saturday and it was so lovely. I did cry a few times during the show. I just thought it was absolutely gorgeous and something different to take your mind off all these problems we're facing in the moment as a general public, I guess.
Kildare Focus with Ciara Noble.
JD in Clane has been in touch on our Whitewater Shopping Centre text line, and he has said that, hi Ciara, did I hear an ad on KFM about Fulcher Ireland holiday vouchers to purchase, as I would like to purchase a holiday voucher in Ireland for staff. Whoa, JD, that you are a good boss if you're buying people holiday vouchers. I cannot tell you because I do not know that, but if you listen out, JD, again, obviously throughout the day you may hear it. Owen and I were speaking a little earlier about I'm a Celebrity. It's not going to be back on the TV screens until tomorrow, Tuesday evening. And somebody has texted in here saying Danny Miller is in there. How can you forget him? The best actor ever from Emmerdale. I actually don't watch that show, so I don't know. And this texter said Danny Miller should win hands down. As far as acting goes, he's the best actor out of all the soaps by a country mile. And that comes in from Lou. This listener obviously absolutely adores Danny Miller. They said, thanks for mentioning him. You're very welcome. And they sent me a gif of this Danny Miller in Emmerdale. So now I know what Danny Miller looks like. Owen was speaking about I'm a Celebrity a little earlier on. And the texter said, as you don't watch Emmerdale, here's a pic above of Danny Miller. Thank you so much. We have a text in from, you don't have your name at the end of this text, so I can't say who it is. They've said, what approach should we have taken? Far as I can see, I think the government, this is in regards to Anthony Staines' interview about Omicron. As far as I can see, the government has done the best they could. What would any of the rest of them do differently? There is no answer to that. because as long as people are on the move, going from country to country and all types of travelling, we will always have this virus. Oh, I hope we don't. Well, I'm sure we will always have this virus, but I hope we're in a better position in the next few years. Now, joining me again, he couldn't get enough. He came back for more. It's Owen Beatty.
Loves the limelight here, this fella does. So I'm a celebrity. A couple of people actually rang in wanting to know when it's coming back. So if you didn't hear us earlier on, it's not on tonight. Although over the weekend, they did a couple of repeat programmes on Saturday and Sunday.
It's been on for a week. How can they do repeat programmes?
No, of like the best bits down through the years.
Oh, of, I thought you were saying the best bits of the week.
No, no. So I don't know what they're going to do tonight, but tomorrow will be a live show. So that is when I'm a Celebrity comes back. We're talking now about the CSO Pulse survey, and this is what's called Our Lives Online, a snapshot of the results, and just go down through some of the main findings of that. Just over 6 in 10, 62% of respondents to this survey said that they are spending more money online now than a year ago. And that ties into what we were talking about earlier on, Ciara, about Black Friday. It's just so easy now to buy things online and to purchase online, so that's why
feel
more
like
people
not
are
really
spending.
Spending money.
Just exactly, yeah.
Click, and then I look at my bank and I'm like, whoa, I spent a lot of money.
Yeah, but even the way the bank cards are connected up to the phones now as well, it's so easy to just press a button and there you are, and you don't know the money's
gone.
You
sound like Clem back in the day.
When asked about purchasing products online other than groceries, 6 in 10, 60% said that they mainly look for retailers that are either based locally to them or elsewhere in Ireland, regardless of the price. So that's a bit of good news, I suppose, in terms of shopping locally. Of those who work remotely, 88% said that they would like to work that way all or some of the time when all pandemic restrictions are lifted. More than 4 in 10 or 45% of those in employment would consider a house move or have moved already if they could work remotely. Now, I was looking across some of the newspapers online, and the Irish Examiner have picked up on that. So 4 in 10 would consider moving home. So that's what, 2 in 5 would consider moving home in order to work from home, work remotely, which is, you know,
incredible. I'm sure a huge majority of those are people that live probably in Dublin. You know, about, you know, over a million people live in Dublin, and they might want to go home to Cork, Kerry, wherever they're from, where things might be a bit cheaper.
And again, we've seen over the last year and a half that that can be done now, working from home. And even, you know, us in here, and Clem has mentioned it before on the Kildare Today programme, that if you had said to us 2 years ago that you could present a radio show from your bedroom, nobody would have believed that.
Well, I would have said yeah. Of course you would have, yeah.
Of course you would have. Almost three quarters, 74% of those working remotely feel as though they have more time on their hands to do things that they never got the chance to do before the pandemic, such as doing more domestic tasks, exercising and spending more time with family and friends. And then 3 in 10, 29% of parents with a child in primary school rated their online education experience during the pandemic as good or excellent. So they are some of the main findings from that Pulse survey. More details on CSO.ie, but let us know what you think as well if you're listening into us, how your online experience was over the last 18 months or thereabouts. Text or WhatsApp 0833. What are you looking at me? 0833 97 97 97 or email studio at kfmradio.com. I could present this show. I really could present
this
show.
You could. You're some man. Listen, we obviously all had more time on our hands. Did you exercise more? That's one of the things that's mentioned here. Did you exercise?
At the start, I did. When I thought it was only for like 2 or 3 weeks, and I was like, oh yeah, I'll exercise at home now, setting up my home gym. When I realised that it was going to be for longer than 2 and 3 weeks, I think I kind of fell back into old habits, so no.
Now, I know you have like your motorbike now, but 47% of people supposedly took more walking trips since the pandemic has begun. This is from the same survey. Have you walked more?
Again, at the start, I did, yeah. And then I got the old Honda 50, so I don't have to walk anywhere anymore.
Okay,
I can go on the bike.
I have not. I have actually. Yeah, I've definitely walked more. Oh my god! Somebody else is texting about Danny Miller. Danny has a load of fans.
Danny's going to win this program. I'm telling you.
Mary is saying, "Oh no, sorry. Mary's not a fan.
She's not a fan of Danny Ryan. Take that back.
Mary's not a fan. Maybe the two of these will get into some sort of argument. All Danny Miller does. This is Mary now. Other texter, don't get or Lou, don't get me in trouble for this. All Danny Miller does is cry in every episode of Emmerdale. A whinger. How could you say the best actor? In fairness to poor old Danny Miller, he's told to cry. We can't be giving out to poor old Danny." Anyway, listen, Owen Beatty, thank you very much for coming on and letting us know about the situation with I'm a Celebrity, back on your screens tomorrow night. By the way, did you watch the toy show?
No, not on Friday. No, I didn't get to. Where was I? I was doing something on Friday.
I don't know.
I was at a gig.
You weren't.
That's
doing
where I was.
Me, hon.
Yeah, I was at a gig.
Yeah, I watched it on Saturday. I watched it. I did cry. I didn't think I'd cry. I cried. It was emotional.
Yeah, I saw some of the best bits over the weekend, particularly the two young lads. The DJ, was it? The two DJs?
Oh my God, how funny were they?
They were gas.
And this boy came up in his like tricycle or whatever when they were showing like the little bikes and cars segment. And in the background, Ryan stopped him and he's like, come up here. Have you got something to do? And he said, yeah, I can sing opera. So basically he starts singing Ave Maria in Italian, like so well. And the DJs in the background were like, oh, making a load of faces at Ryan. They were very proud of him. But anyway, Owen Beattie, thank you very much. And of course, thank you for producing the show. He wants to try and present it over that side.
Eventually I will.
Thank you very much, Owen. And of course, thank you so much to Caoimhe Harney and you for listening in to us this afternoon. We've got Ben up next with K-Drive Gold. And of course, from 4 to 7, Paul will have K-Drive for you. And do keep your texts coming in this afternoon. We're getting some more pictures of Danny Miller. Poor Danny Miller. He's having a hard time at the moment. With you tomorrow.
Kildare Focus with Kira Noble.